traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show, across the nation from Atlanta, Georgia. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I need to spend another moment on Jerry's call, if he's still listening. Jerry called in at the end of the last hour, and he asked, why is it that the left is just so insistent on mandatory COVID vaccines, particularly when they're so new? There are a variety of reasons for this, and I want to spend a moment here on this. First of all, you do need to understand that so much of our national politics right now is the politics of the other. Each side reacts to the other. So the right now, is skeptical of the vaccines and the demands of the left. Therefore, the left demands more, is skeptical of the claims of the right, and insists on the vaccine. There were concerns about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Some of those concerns greatly overstated, but those concerns were real. They were all completely dismissed by the left because they were raised by people presumed to be conservatives. It turns out a lot of those concerns were right, if not overstated, but they were real. But each side reacts to the other now in their politics. And you do need to understand that as a country, as a nation, in our political discourse right now, if the left says the first letter of the alphabet is A, someone on the right is going to scream at them and say, no, 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 it's Y. If someone on the right says our order of numbers is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, someone on the left is going to say, no, 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 no. Actually, it's 5, 3, 7, 9, 20 bajillion. It's all in reaction to the other side, and neither side can embrace or acknowledge any common points with each other. But there's something else going on as well with the left. The left has found its new religion. It has left Christianity. Progressive Christendom and worldliness are the same, but it has also embraced scientism. Scientism is the worship of science, and the left has fully embraced it. That is why Dr. Fauci is their most venerated saint. Saint Fauci of Washington has said to get the vaccine and it is safe. Therefore, the left insists because one of their most sacred God-like beings, their Saint Fauci, has said so, we must do so because you have the combination on the left of two things, a worship of government and a worship of science. And when you're worshiping government and science together, they combine into a scenario where whatever science says that the government implements must be done. It is scientism on the left. You believe in science? Well, everybody's got to go with it. They're attempting to impose their religion on other people. It is about control. Yes, it is about control. But at a more meta level, at a higher level, this really is about a new religion. And these are sacraments. That's why the left wants everyone to have an abortion. Abortion is a sacrament of the secular left. If you can't have an abortion because you're a dude, well, you can maybe identify as a woman and now have an abortion. But also, you can fund Planned Parenthood with either your tax dollars or your individual donations. Because abortion, like with Moloch back in the day, abortion is a sacrament of the left. And now the vaccine becomes a new sacrament of the left. You get your vaccine, to show your faithful commitment to science. Now, there are people on the right who have presumed the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Y'all know these. I actually know people who have said this. They are not right in the head. They do not understand Revelation. They certainly don't. The Social Security number was at one point going to be the mark of the beast. Vaccines in general were the mark of the beast. Now the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast. If it's all the mark of the beast, none of it is. The actual mark of the beast, you know, there's also people always glance over the more important mark in Revelation, the mark of Christ. The idea that someone can get the vaccine. Now, here's the thing you got to understand about the mark of the beast. It is an outward expression of some internal change in soul to worship something other than God. And yeah, Philip says the same people call it Revelations. It's the Revelation, the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. But it's an outward expression of an internal change towards worship of the Antichrist. So a vaccine definitionally cannot be the mark of the beast, because how do you know that you have the vaccine? You can't manifest physically, look at someone and see it. You can look at someone in their behaviors and actions and see a soul change towards something non-divine, but you can't actually look at someone and say, yep, this person got the vaccine. No, you really physically can't do that. You physically cannot see that someone has gotten a vaccine. Therefore, it definitionally can't be what the mark of the beast is presumed to be, which is an outward expression or sign to show a soul change towards the Antichrist. So you can't actually have the vaccine be that. But the left has fully embraced the idea of the vaccine as a sacrament now, because they embrace worship of science. I needed to make that point. Now, I want to go to the phones. I haven't talked a lot about Kamala and Kinko's. Matthew wants to do it. Matthew, let me see if I can connect you here. I'm having some buggy systems on this series of tubes known as the internet. But we do have to talk about Kamala, who apparently believes that in rural America, you cannot get the vaccine, you can't get an ID. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Eric. So all day yesterday, all I saw in media was people making fun of Kamala for saying that rural folks can't get their ID photocopied. But not a single person mentioned that no one's asking for anyone to get their ID photocopied in the first place. They just want you to write down the number. So she has no idea what these lawsuits against her are even about.
That is a good point, and I hadn't noticed that. And for those of you who don't know what Matthew's talking about here, the law in question, particularly in Georgia, the one that has so many people so upset and it's cantankerous and controversial, it will require that voters don't make a photocopy of their ID, but just write down their driver's license ID number. And in writing down their driver's license ID number, the state will be able to pull up the photo ID, which they already have a copy of, and be able to see it. So, yeah, she's mouthing off of this. But also, the narrow-minded bigotry of Kamala Harris to presume that people in rural parts of the country don't have access to things. Like, I've got this marvelous invention that a whole lot of people have. It is a printer that also has a scanner and copier built in by Hewlett Packard. You can get one for a couple $100 and you can do that. But that's not at all what the law requires in Georgia. That's what the law was going to require, but they changed it and she didn't keep up with the changes. And it's just fascinating to see the dichotomy here, the media embracing Kamala Harris. And, you know, the media likes to fact check conservatives a whole lot, but notice they haven't actually fact checked her on this. And it's a deep disparagement of people who live in rural areas, a deep condemnation, if you will, of how people choose to live their lives. And by the way, a vast array of people do choose to live their lives by living out in the out in rural parts of the country. All right. Now, let me see here. Nope. I never mind. I thought I had a call. Possibly I do in a minute. I gotta focus on Texas a little bit more. Let me play you some audio first.
And so these are private planes. Is there a reason why you all flew together on charter planes instead of flying commercially?
Absolutely. Number one, you know, when you break a quorum, you want to be successful. So I think everybody wants to see, you know, 51, 52, 55 Democrats on the same plane. That's reassuring. Number two, to get a flight out of town at a time certain with, you know, getting everybody to come in from across the state, you need to fly privately. And as you can see from the picture, we're talking about using the same kind of plane that the public uses every day. There's no fancy couches or anything like that. This was just a regular plane that moved us from one state to another.
So you'll be gone for a month, sounds like.
If that's what it takes, yes.
If that's what it takes. Now, the Texas Democrats have fled the state of Texas to Washington, D.C. They had a press conference that literally no one covered. And the Texas Democrats want you to believe they're standing up for democracy by ensuring that the democratically elected legislature of Texas cannot convene due to a lack of quorum. Imagine if the Republicans had done this. More importantly, though, and this is the distinct issue here, what the Texas Republican legislation proposes really isn't that off the wall or bad. In fact, the provisions the Democrats complain most loudly about have been dropped from the legislation, including a prohibition on Sunday voting. You can now do Sunday voting under this law in Texas. What the Democrats are actually doing is they're grandstanding. They're grandstanding in order to get media attention for their own lost cause. The Democrats want the For the People Act passed, H.R. 1. It's not going to be passed. But yet it's kind of surprising to me how much energy the American media itself is putting into trying to get the For the People Act passed when it can't get passed. The filibuster's not going away, yet the Texas Democrats are going to grandstand for it and campaign on it. If the Republicans serially did this, what would the Democrats do? What would the media do? And I've got a case in point. If you will recall, when Barack Obama was president of the United States, Nancy Pelosi had taken over the House of Representatives, and Republicans wanted to drill. And Sarah Palin led with the drill, baby, drill chant. The Democrats left and they turned off the lights in the House of Representatives. Maybe it was when George Bush was still president. But the Republicans wanted to pass some pro-energy, pro-drilling legislation. Democrats turned off the lights in the House of Representatives, turned off the cameras, and yet the Republicans were able to stay and get a lot of buzz and traction by having their cell phones available where they could film themselves. And the way the media of the day covered this was that it was a wasted effort by the GOP. It was going nowhere. They were wasting their time. They were avoiding going home to deal with the voters, that it was just absolutely a ridiculous performance stunt. That's how the American media covered the Republicans when they decided to camp out on the floor of the House of Representatives and demand more drilling. Now the media itself is fully in the tank on trying to get this bill passed. They've covered the Texas Democrats as if they're rock stars. They've pointed out how bold and brave it was. Now, 6 months ago, when Republican voters stormed the U.S. Congress and disrupted the county of the Electoral College, democracy itself was at stake. The Texas Democrats getting on a plane and fleeing the Texas legislature to ensure that the democratically elected body of the state legislature cannot beat their heroes. They got a case of Miller Lite. At least they had Miller Lite instead of Bud Light. They had Miller Lite, which is a far better drinkable beer than Bud Light. They had a couple cases of it on their bus. Some of them took a private charter plane. By the way, none of them wore masks. We still have a federal mandate imposed by Joe Biden to wear masks on public transit. Some of these very same Democrats who are maskless were telling people that Greg Abbott was going to get them all killed by getting rid of the mask mandate in Texas, and yet they themselves chose not to wear masks. Why exactly is that? I mean, the level of hypocrisy in this, the media doesn't point any of that out, though. The media has played the game for the Democrats because they are so invested in the Democratic narrative against the Republicans right now that they can't even see straight, let alone cover the news honestly. Welcome to the program. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. 7425. I'm going to go to the phones. I want to, Dale, welcome to the program.
Yowza.
What's going on?
Derek, I just want to thank Ms. Kamala for her concerns about us poor white trash what don't know nothing about them newfangled copying contraptions that they have there in the big cities. And she's mighty fine to help us out. When she sends them vaccine patrols out, maybe she can bring some of them little magic boxes with them, and they can help us to learn how to use that newfangled innovation what y'all have that we don't.
Well, Dale, you do know what they use in the copy machines to generate the copy, don't you? Demons. That's what they use. That they keep a horde of demons in those boxes, the Legion.
I don't know nothing about all. And I don't know how to get one of them IDs either, because I'm just too ignorant.
You know, on a serious point, Dale, listen, now, thanks for the phone call there. On a serious point, it is amazing to me the number of people on the Democratic side who are convinced that black Americans are too stupid to figure out how to get an ID or can't do it, that somehow black America lives in this impoverished situation in which black Americans are incapable of getting a driver's license. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm on the road every day and I see a lot of drivers who are not white. Are we to presume that they are incapable of getting driver's licenses? Are we to presume that they're breaking the law, driving without a license? Because the Democrats sure seem to. I mean, it's amazing to me when I talk to my friends who are black, who get deeply offended by the idea that they are incapable of getting IDs, driver's licenses, and the like, and yet the Democrats just continue on this thing. It's just absolutely nonsensical, and yet this is where we are as a society. I'm going to go back to the phones now. Ben, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I was just listening to your show. First of all, I love your show. Huge fan. Thank also you. An ardent Calvinist here.
Excellent.
I just had a broad comment. Broad comment. I just finished reading the book 1776 by David McCullough, and I've been a patriot. I'd call myself a patriot. I've been a patriot for a long time. But the more I read about the struggles that our founding fathers and the men and women that they went through, the more I compare that to today's people in today's society, the more convicted I am of how weak we are as a society, specifically the Texas Republicans, the Texas Democrats. Both parties are weak-willed, and I would say the Democrats are stronger-willed, but you know, I'm disgraced by both parties, and I wish that somebody would stand up and do something. And I definitely thank you for speaking about all that. You're definitely inspirational.
Well, Ben, listen, thank you very much. And, you know, there's a point to be made to what you're saying. If you've ever listened, read 1776, David McCullough's great book, or if you've one of my favorites, and Ben, I recommend this one to you, is it's 1864, Lincoln at the Gates of History. It's a biography of the year, not of Lincoln, but a biography of the year, 1864. It's called 1864, Lincoln at the Gates of History. Dick Cheney recommended that book to me. One of the things that you get from books like these are that the values that you and I mouth off on social media, talk about on talk radio and the like, they were very real to the founders. They literally did pledge their lives to the ideas. It is great for some woke someone to stand up in the town square and start mouthing off about their freedom and liberty and rights or a conservative do so. But are you really willing to take a bullet for it? Because the founders sure as hell were. So much of what we take in abstract was very real to them. The right to keep and bear arms is somewhat abstract to people today. It was a very real thing to them. And we do not recognize nor take seriously what we have now as a society that they did not have then, that they were willing to lay down their lives for in ways we just mouth off about. It was very real for them and maybe needs to be made real for us again so that we take it seriously yet again instead of beclowning ourselves on social media. It is Eric Erickson here. Welcome across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Glad to have you with me. Let's go to the phones. I'm going to go next to Tom. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody brought to my attention this weekend a thing called the boiling frog theory. You familiar with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, I got thinking about it, reading some old articles, watching news, and right now I feel like that's where America's at. We've either got to step up, band together, or we're going to go down one of the two.
You know, Tom, I've right actually now, got some thoughts on this. I'm glad you bring this up, because I hear this from a lot of people that we're like the frog. And by the way, that's apparently not true. I've never tried it, but apparently not true. The frog does get out of the water. I think we're in a political realignment. And political realignments, when you're in them, they're kind of hard to see, at least at first, but also it's very discombobulating. Now, I also think that we're in a political realignment in the midst of the end times, and I don't want to get all Art Bell conspiracy theory on y'all, but I don't know that the second coming happens in my lifetime, but I think within the next couple hundred years, it's going to happen. I feel like we are... So now, eschatology, the study of the theory of the end times, it's always written from your frame of mind. So in the early 1900s, the eschatological writings of Christian authors was very positive. As you got into World War I and then World War II, it was very dreary again. And then after World War II, eschatological writing became very positive again. It's suddenly in decline again. It's becoming very negative. But I kind of am thinking, look, there's clearly something spiritual running amok in the world. But also, I think we're in a political realignment. Take the theology out of it. We're in a political realignment. A lot of my friends who self-identify as conservatives now believe completely different things from what they did 5-10 years ago. And a lot of my friends who are conservative are now fighting each other over their ideas and what they all believe, because we're in a political realignment. And so political realignments are unsettling, topsy-turvy. It looks like the beginning of the end, the country's going to collapse. If you go back to the early 1900s or the pre-Civil War, 1840s, 1850s, as political realignments were happening in the country, everyone experienced the same thing. It's the same sort of, the country's over, we're going to hell in a handbasket, we hate each other's guts, we're going to split up. This time is for real, unlike the last time. You hear that too. We're going through a political realignment. Friends of mine who have long held deeply conservative beliefs, some of them now hold beliefs that Democrats 5 years ago were embracing, like unions. We're going through a political realignment. So how do you get through a political realignment? How do you preserve the country you love? Well, you love your neighbor. You actually focus on your local community, not on Washington. You involve yourself locally. Stop worrying so much about Washington, D.C. If there's one brilliant thing Donald Trump did, it's he stockpiled federal courts with a bunch of conservatives who believe in federalism, who believe that states matter most, and in so doing, it empowers the states more so you can focus more on your local politics, your local government, and not have to worry on at D.C. For example, you want to talk about the Trump-appointed judges? Listen to this. A three-judge panel in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled this morning the Second Amendment protects the right of 18 to 20-year-olds to buy handguns. It struck down federal laws that prohibited licensed dealers from selling to young adults. In a 2-to-1 vote, the court found the federal restriction does not stand up to scrutiny. Our nation's most cherished constitutional rights vest no later than 18, according to Judge Julius Richardson, with Judge G. Stephen Agee concurring. And the Second Amendment's right to keep and bear arms is no different. The ruling could open up new options for self-defense or recreational shooting to young adults. It could also imperil state laws that ban young adults from owning handguns or other kinds of firearms, including those in large states like California and Florida. The court praised the motivations behind the handgun ban for young adults, but said the desire to lower gun crime must be balanced against the rights of those involved. We appreciate the seriousness of gun violence in this country and applaud Congress's laudable desire to curb senseless violence, but we also recognize that the Second Amendment embodies a fundamental pre-existing right that enables the people to preserve their own life, liberty, and property. The case was brought by several plaintiffs who argued the handgun ban actually made them less safe. 19-year-old Natalia Marshall joined the case after her abusive ex-boyfriend was arrested for drug and gun possession but skipped court after being released on bail. She obtained a protective order but wants to own a handgun to protect herself since she is trained in handling firearms safely. Ultimately, the court decided the record showed the Second Amendment was always intended to apply to all adults, and young adults were no exception to the rule. History makes clear, according to the court, that 18 to 20-year-olds were understood to fall under the Second Amendment's protection. Those over 18 were universally required to be part of the militia near the ratification, proving that they were considered part of the people who enjoyed the Second Amendment rights. And most other constitutional rights apply to this age group, and Congress may not restrict the rights of an entire group of law-abiding adults because a minuscule portion of that group commits a disproportionate amount of gun violence. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is in Richmond, Virginia. It covers South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland. So the ruling only has impact there. Now, there will be a full court review. The lower court was vacated, but we'll have time for the federal government to appeal the decision to the full court of the Supreme Court. But this has a lot to do with Donald Trump's judges who have empowered states so that we can make Washington less powerful. And that, frankly, is how you get through a political realignment. Focus on your state. Now, back to the phones we go. Let's see. Dan, I'm going to go to you next. Welcome.
Hi, Eric. Had a question for you. I've heard out of the White House lately that states and local governments can take COVID money that's extra or whatever they, however they're spending it, and spending on things to supplement their budget, whether it be the police or education or other things. So does that mean that COVID is not a priority? It's not going to kill us all tomorrow, and it's kind of behind us, and we can get rid of all the rules, regulations, since we got money, so spend it on whatever you want.
Exactly. Yes. I think it's a big indication, Dan, that COVID is not nearly the big disastrous thing right now. By the way, though, Congress is exploring a fourth check to people. The Democrats in Congress want to send a fourth check to people. And I think that's a terrible idea. I realize that giving money away is something that Congress loves to do. But I don't know if y'all have seen this. First of all, I got to set the stage for you. This is Paul Krugman of the New York Times writing on June 21st, headline, "The Week Inflation Panic Died." Remember when everyone was panicking about inflation, warning ominously about 1970s-style stagflation? Okay, many people are still saying such things, some because that's what they always say, some because that's what they say when there's a Democratic president, some because they're extrapolating from the big price increases that took place in the first 5 months of this year. But for those paying closer attention to the flow of new information, inflation panic is so last week. Seriously, both recent data and recent statements from the Federal Reserve have deflated the case for a sustained outbreak of inflation. For that case has always depended on asserting that the Fed is either intellectually or morally deficient or both. That is, to panic over inflation, you had to believe either the Fed's model of how inflation works is all wrong, or that the Fed would lack the political courage to cool off the economy if it were to become dangerously overheated. Both beliefs have now lost most of whatever credibility they may have had. Let's start with inflation. Well, let's start with inflation because we've got new data out today. Inflation climbed higher than expected in June as price indexes rose 5.4%. Consumer prices rose 5.4%, the biggest monthly gain since August of 2008. Excluding food and energy, inflation increased 4.5%, the largest increase since September of 1991. Used car and truck prices comprised one-third of the total price index increase. Inflation surged in June in the fastest pace in nearly 13 years amid a burst in used vehicle costs and price inflation in food and energy, the Labor Department reported. The consumer price index increased 5.4% from a year earlier, the largest jump since August of 2008, just before the worst of the financial crisis. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones has been expecting a 5 percentage point gain. Now, interestingly enough, more and more economists are starting to think it's not going to be transitory. That means temporary. It's going to be long-lasting inflation. And not just that, real earnings dropped in June. Real weekly earnings fell 1.4%, while real hourly earnings fell 1.7%, even as consumer prices rose by 5.4%. So your ability to spend has gone down significantly. Your ability to purchase is going down significantly. But at least on the upside, you save 16 cents on your barbecue at Thanksgiving, according to the at 4th of July, according to the Biden administration. Back to the phones we go. Going to go next to Carlos. Welcome to the program, Carlos.
Hey, Eric. Want to congratulate you on your show.
Thank you.
It has helped me and my family to learn the conservative values. I wanted to talk to you about the situation currently going on in Cuba as a Cuban American, as the Cubans are fighting for their freedom, and see if you go, what is your opinion on that?
Listen, Carlos, I think that this is a much bigger deal than a lot of people appreciate. For those who don't know, the protests have now spread across the Cuban island. They were concentrated in 14 cities. The Cuban president was actually on television blaming the Americans and a porn star for causing the riots and protests. But the reality is that it's not about vaccines now. It's totally an uprising for freedom. They want their freedom. The New York Times got slammed by a lot of conservatives for saying that the cause of their chanting freedom was anti-government. But in the context of Cuba, freedom really is anti-government because they don't have it. I'm just shocked the New York Times recognized that. It is spreading. The Biden administration is departing from the Obama administration line, which in and of itself is notable. The Obama administration took a very wait-and-see approach and downplayed protests in Cuba and in the Middle East. And the Biden administration has come out and encouraged the protesters and taken their side. One of the Florida congressmen was asked about this on Fox News. This is what he had to say.
What the Cuban people are demanding is freedom. And that's what they're yelling in the streets.
And to them, it's worth it. It may be against the law, but it's worth it because their lives are on the line. Congressman, also, we heard a number of media figures say essentially what is going on is a manifestation of what Donald Trump wrought on the country of Cuba with sanctions and things like that. Is that accurate?
No, it isn't. It's absolutely totally inaccurate. Donald Trump was the president of freedom, particularly the president of freedom in this hemisphere. And he is seen that way by folks who live under repression and oppression. And so the same people that criticize the flag and hate the American flag also will criticize President Trump for his attitude of showing solidarity with the people living in the in those conditions and looking at ways to pressure their regimes. Unlike, by the way, during the Obama administration went out of its way to help fund and help and solidify the Castro regime and abandon the people. The contrast could not be so dramatic. I'm exceedingly grateful for President Trump's policies around the planet, but particular in this hemisphere and dealing with Cuba. He was, frankly, the best friend of the cause of freedom. And by the way, the voters turned out in mass, the Cuban Americans, the Venezuelan Americans, those who understand what it is to live under the under repression, they turned out for President Trump. And by the way, how we wish that President Trump was in the White House at this very important during this very important moment.
It is amazing to me how the Venezuelan people and the Cuban people were emboldened by President Trump to demand freedom, while the illegal immigrants south of the border were emboldened by Trump to stay home and then emboldened by Biden to try to flood the border. The words of presidents of the United States still matter. And it was encouraging that Joe Biden came out and spoke up for the protesters in Cuba. More so than anything Barack Obama ever did. Barack Obama just couldn't have cared less about the protesters in Cuba. It's good that Joe Biden has, but you know, it is notable whenever there's a major protest of Palestinians, a socialist uprising somewhere, the squad comes out. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes out and demands that the president speak up on behalf of the Palestinians or whoever. It's very interesting how quiet the squad is about this. Of course, this is a pro-America protest where, just like in Hong Kong, they're flying the American flag. It's always, have you noticed, it's progressives in this country who refuse to fly the American flag. And in other countries, the people yearning for freedom always tend to pick up the American flag. They don't pick up the French flag or the British flag or anyone else's flag. They pick up the American flag as the flag of freedom. Why is that, you think? I just want you guys to know I have an incredible recipe I'm sending out tomorrow. Even though I will be on vacation, I'm going to send out the recipe. It is so you got to have little ramekins. You do need ramekins for, well, you don't. Yeah, I mean, you use a cast iron skillet, I guess, but it's a deep dish chocolate chip cookie, and you make it in the oven and it puffs up like a souffle. And then while it's still kind of, it's hot and raw in the middle, not quite raw, but close enough, you put a scoop of ice cream on top. Oh my gosh. I experimented the other night and it was good. It is quite tasty. I highly recommend it. I fully encourage it. You need the recipe. So what you got to do is you got to text the word recipe to 33777, the word recipe, singular. You text that to the phone number, 33777, and you'll get a link back. You follow the link. You can put in your email address on the website. If you scroll down from where the email address is or the form is, you can see all the recipes I've already put up. This one will be there too. It's quite tasty, quite delicious. You can make it this week. It's very easy. Now, we got to move on to other stuff. Jake Evans is going to join me at the top of the hour. Lucy McBath is a Democrat who nationally has come to fame as one of the leading champions of gun control in Congress. She's in Georgia in a district that is barely hanging on to the Democrats and probably going to be redistricted into a Republican district. There are a number of Republicans who are running. Jake Evans is one of them. His father, Randy, was the President Trump's ambassador to Liechtenstein. Jake was the head of the Ethics Commission for the state of Georgia. He's running as a Republican. Megan Hansen is running as well, and several others. Jake's going to join me at the top of the next hour as he launches his campaign today. I've invited Megan Hansen on as well. Right now, before we go to commercial break, though, it's very important. Have you ever thought about turning a filet mignon into a burger? Surely you have, because it's delicious. What you do, if you want to do this, because Omaha Steaks has done this, is you get their summer grilling package. You go to omahasteaks.com and you put Eric in the search bar, and you can order the summer grill pack from Omaha Steaks. You get 28 of their favorite entrees, and you get my favorite entrees. This is one of the great things about this, is they've taken things that I love, and they've put in this package the bacon-wrapped fillets. That is what you want, the bacon-wrapped fillets, and they're in this package. You also get boneless chicken breasts, and they're great, and the boneless pork chops. You get the gourmet jumbo franks, 8 of them, no less, that they don't cause my wife heartburn like your standard hot dogs out there. And my wife's favorite, the absolute favorite, she actually had this the other night in lieu of the chocolate chip cookie I made, caramel apple tartlets from Omaha Steaks. And then you get 8 free filet mignon burgers. So you get bacon-wrapped filet mignons. You also get 8 burgers made by grinding up filet mignons. You get a 59% savings on the package as well. 59% savings. That's a heck of a deal for this. At omahasteaks.com, you put Eric, E-R-I-C-K, in the search bar. Get the summer grill pack. Get those 8 free filet mignon burgers at omahasteaks.com. Putting Eric in the search bar, and you'll get the bacon-wrapped fillets as well and the caramel apple tartlets and so much more. Go get this.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.